Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church. Today, we're embarking on a journey into two incredibly insightful messages from Pastor Tim Travis. Our mission, as always, is to really pull out the most impactful insights and, you know, practical guidance you can integrate into your life right now. We'll be drawing directly from his teachings on Joshua 24 and Ephesians 5, exploring some really profound wisdom about the choices we make and the relationships we build.
That's absolutely right. Our goal is to unpack the timeless wisdom in these sermons, make it really actionable for your daily walk. We want to give you clear takeaways that address, you know, the critical choices you face, the responsibilities you carry, and the underlying spiritual principles that kind of bind them all together for a truly fulfilling life.
All right, let's dive in then. We'll begin with Pastor Travis's sermon, Choices for the Christian Path, Old Paths, New Purpose, Part 6. This one plunges us straight into Joshua chapter 24. You have to picture the scene. Joshua, he's nearing the end of his extraordinary life, and he gathers all the tribes of Israel. He's about to issue this pivotal challenge, one that honestly echoes even today.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating here is how Joshua starts. He recounts God's miraculous acts. He reminds them, look, God took Abraham from idol worship. He led Israel out of Egypt. Remember the plagues? Parted the Red Sea. Guided them through the wilderness. Defeated powerful enemies like the Amorites. He even thwarted Balaam's curses. And finally, brought them into the promised land. And Pastor Travis really zeroes in on a critical detail here.
What's that?
Israel didn't lift a finger. God sent the hornet before them, clearing the way. They entered a land and cities they did not labor for. The big message, repeated for emphasis, is basically, you didn't do this.
Wow. That's such a powerful point, isn't it? This idea of God doing the heavy lifting, us not lifting a finger. It feels almost, well, countercultural today in a world that's constantly telling us to hustle and grind and, you know, claim all our achievements. How does that ancient concept challenge our modern anxieties about control and self-sufficiency?
Well, it hits right at the core of human pride, doesn't it? Pastor Travis highlights how quickly Israel forgot this divine help. Even after seeing miracle after miracle, he points to Exodus and Numbers, how quickly they started grumbling and doubting. And he warns about the real danger when a church or a family or even a marriage starts saying, look what we did.
That subtle shift.
Exactly. It's a subtle shift, but it moves the credit and ultimately the glory from God to ourselves.
Okay, so if we forget God's foundational role, what choices are we really left with? Joshua 24.15 lays out what Pastor Travis calls three choices, three warnings, three decisions. It starts with, choose you this day who ye will serve. And the first choice he talks about is the look back, serving the gods of your fathers.
Right. And when we hear gods of your fathers, we shouldn't just think about, you know, ancient statues or carved idols.
No, definitely not.
Pastor Travis makes it clear this translates directly to our modern gods, those distractions, maybe priorities, or even old habits that subtly, sometimes without us even realizing it, take God's rightful place.
Exactly. It makes me think of that dramatic showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Remember, that powerful demonstration where fire came down from heaven, consumed the altar, and the people finally proclaimed, the Lord, he is the God. It took something huge. Pastor Travis warns that in what the Bible calls the latter days, you know, the end times, certain spiritual deceptions or what he calls demonic doctrines are going to emerge.
And these aren't always obviously evil things, right?
No, they're often subtle beliefs that can lead us astray, like thinking you need to earn your salvation through good works, or relying on human intermediaries instead of going directly to God, or even just believing that minimal effort, like maybe just showing up on Sunday sometimes, is enough. He cautions this can lead towards a great apostasy, a widespread turning away from, well, fundamental beliefs.
And he then describes this really chilling five-stage progression of looking back into those old ungodly ways. It starts with just lurking around them, then maybe a longing develops, which quickly ramps up to lust, then a deep love for those old ways, and finally you can actually become a leader in those destructive patterns.
Wow, that's quite a path downward.
It is. The example of Lot is so vivid here. He gradually moved his family closer and closer to Sodom, and then eventually integrated right into that corrupt city. But Pastor Travis also reminds us of God's incredible mercy, you know, pulling Lot and his family out right before the destruction. It shows that even when we're caught in that kind of progression, there's always an opportunity for repentance and rescue.
And for you listening right now, the powerful message from Pastor Travis is this. You don't have to let your past define you. Not at all. He emphasizes how the Word of God, it acts to recalibrate us, helps us reassess our direction. It helps us realign our priorities, brings remembrance of God's faithfulness, which we forget so easily. It provides reconnaissance, like pinpointing exactly where we went wrong. And ultimately, it leads to genuine repentance and a total reset of the heart. Just like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 beautifully puts it, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed." What a promise.
Such a powerful promise. Okay, so the second choice Joshua presents is the look around, serving the gods of the Amorites. Historically, Israel repeatedly wanted to be like the world, didn't they? We see it in 1 Samuel when they demanded a king, just like all the other nations have.
Maybe they wanted to fit in.
Exactly. And this constant looking around led them into these cycles of good and bad leadership, you know, from Saul's pride and disobedience all the way to Solomon's moral compromises, despite all his wisdom.
It's really interesting how this look often begins so subtly, maybe just with a glance. You think of Eve seeing the forbidden fruit, or Lot casting his eyes towards Sodom's fertile plains. It starts visually. Pastor Travis points out how modern advertising, well, it exploits this exact vulnerability, doesn't it? It sells us not just a product, but often an entire lifestyle that pulls us away from maybe healthier values.
Oh, absolutely. And Pastor Travis outlines another dangerous progression here, a four-stage one for looking around. First, dissatisfaction sets in. Maybe from overstimulation, the world's constant flash makes things like prayer or reading the Bible seem, well, boring. This leads to a kind of delusional state where you start believing you can play with sin without consequences.
Instead of rationalizing things.
Yeah. Yeah. Ignoring biblical standards for marriage, maybe rationalizing premarital sex or tobacco, alcohol, pornography, even abortion. Then comes distraction. Focusing on trivial things, sports, endless consumerism, anything really, to avoid deeper reflection. And finally, disassociation. You start feeling embarrassed by your faith, or you find yourself associating more with worldly things than with principles that, well, truly matter. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which warns that Satan can actually blind the minds of those who don't believe.
And this looking around, it can lead to really profound spiritual downfall with very real-world consequences. Pastor Travis shared a stark example, didn't he, about a woman who had multiple abortions when she was younger. And later discovered she couldn't have children. The regret and grief were immense. It's just a sobering reminder of the long-term impact of choices made when we're following worldly desires.
It really is. So that brings us to the third choice, the one Joshua himself models and commends, the look ahead, serving the Lord. This is where we get Joshua's powerful declaration in Joshua 24, verse 15. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It emphasizes deep personal responsibility. Pastor Travis says, you don't have to wait for your husband or wife. You can make this choice now.
That's empowering.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this decision ties directly into Ephesians chapters 5 and 6, which, as we'll discuss, outline clear roles and responsibilities within the family structure.
Pastor Travis uses the prodigal son analogies so beautifully here. He highlights the son's initial demand, "Give me," that sense of entitlement, and contrasts it so sharply with his later repentant cry, "Make me one of your hired servants." Pastor Travis explains that true service starts with "make me," not "give me." It's about a willingness to be molded, to serve, rather than just expecting things.
Exactly. And the importance of leading by example is crucial here. Just like Joshua, his family followed him because he consistently set that godly standard. It raises an important question for all of us, doesn't it? What example are we setting in our own homes and our own lives?
Yeah, it really does. And it's a strong caution against getting sidetracked
right.
by looking back or looking around. That just leads to discouragement, right?
Yeah.
It echoes Paul's really penetrating question in Galatians chapter 2. Do I now please men or God? Who are we trying to impress?
And to wrap up the section on choices, Pastor Travis shares that tragic story about the young girl who died while doing her makeup, looking in her rearview mirror. It serves as such a powerful, somber analogy for how self-destruction can happen when we're focused on the past or distracted by our surroundings, instead of looking ahead at where we need to go. He also connects Israel's continuous adversity since 1948 to their tendency to step away from their God.
That's a really profound analogy. It just brings home the danger of divided focus, doesn't it? Okay, so from those broad choices Joshua laid out for a whole nation, let's zoom in. Let's look at how those principles apply to our most intimate relationships, marriage and family. This brings us to Pastor Tim Travis's second sermon, Our Walk in Christ, Marriage and Family Relationships, Part 5, from Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. And here, God provides wonderfully clear instructions for building a strong, successful marriage.
He really does. God's will for marriage is presented with remarkable clarity. Husbands are to love their wives, and wives are to submit to their husbands. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 reinforces this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So let's maybe start by exploring wives' submission.
Okay. Pastor Travis first addresses the fact of submission. He explains 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, which establishes God's divine order. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And he clarifies, this isn't about superiority or inferiority at all.
No, not in the slightest.
It's about distinct complementary roles in God's design. He used an analogy like how different parts of a team work together to be stronger, or how two arms pulling together have greater force than one alone. It's about partnership in distinct roles.
Right. And it's a design that's also, interestingly, declared in the curse back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, which describes the struggle against this God-given order. And it's clearly commanded by the Lord in Ephesians 5.23. This design actually places the ultimate responsibility for the home squarely on the husband's shoulders.
Okay, so that's the fact of it. What about the nature of it?
Good question. Regarding the nature of submission, Pastor Travis highlights that it's first and foremost spiritual. It's as unto the Lord, meaning it's an act of obedience to God, not just submission to a person. It's complementary to her husband's leadership. It should be joyful and fulfilling. Pastor Travis mentions it meets the husband's deepest need, which is often approval. And importantly, it provides safety for her and the family. He gave that striking example.
Oh, the child predator one.
Yes. The predator who admitted to avoiding homes where a visible father figure, a man, was present. It speaks to a protective element in God's order.
Wow. Okay. And Pastor Travis also emphasizes the extent of submission. He says it's in everything, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Now, that doesn't mean blind obedience, right? He clarified it means discussing and praying over decisions together. But ultimately, the husband makes the final responsible choice, carrying that weight. And he points out that a wife's respect directly influences her husband's ability to fulfill his role effectively. And importantly, it also impacts the children's obedience and respect for authority.
That connection is key. And finally, we come to the purpose of submission. Why did God design it this way? First, simply to glorify God. As 1 Corinthians 10.31 urges, do all to the glory of God. Second, it's actually intended to influence a disobedient husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 talks about this. Winning them without the word, through a godly life, a meek and quiet spirit, he uses Sarah and Abraham as an example.
But he added a really crucial caution there, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely crucial. Pastor Travis was very strong on this point. Submission never condones a horse. Never. He recounted that tragic story of a pastor who wrongly advised an abused wife to return home, which sadly led to her death. He emphasized that submission absolutely does not mean tolerating harm or staying in a dangerous situation. That's twisting God's intent.
That's such an important clarification. He also stressed that following God's design aims to avoid tragic loss in other ways, too. Like, when a wife steps outside her God-given role, usurping authority, it can lead to unhappiness. A husband might lose respect, or worse, give up leadership entirely, and that leaves children without that strong, proper father figure they need.
Exactly. And perhaps the highest purpose is that it's meant to illustrate the relationship of Christ and the church. Ephesians 5.24 holds this up as the ultimate pattern for the home. And lastly, it ensures that the word of God be not blasphemed, as Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5 suggest. Basically, a family's poor testimony, if it's contradicting God's word, can give outsiders ammunition to mock Christianity.
Okay, so that covers the wife's role. Now let's turn to husband's love.
Yes, and this is fundamentally defined as a sacrificing love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 is so powerful. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This isn't just a warm feeling. It's a selfless, enduring, indestructible love that actively follows that divine sacrificial pattern of Christ.
And this sacrificial love, as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, also means giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Pastor Travis clarified again, weaker vessel isn't about inferiority.
Right. It refers to God's ordained order and design for distinct roles within the marriage. Not about inherent worth or capability. It's about respecting and cherishing her unique nature and role as God designed it.
Which requires understanding her, right?
Precisely. What's compelling is Pastor Travis's emphasis on the need for knowledge of the basic differences between men and women. A knowledge, he says, many lack before marriage, which leads to significant difficulties down the road. He talks about how Satan often tries to twist things, make things opposite from God's original harmonious design.
So sacrificing love, and then what else?
Then there's the sanctifying love. This is described in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27. Christ's love cleanses the church without spot or wrinkle with the washing of water by the word. Pastor Travis uses this beautiful analogy. The word of God cleanses sin. Those are the spots. And it irons out false doctrines or inconsistencies. Those are the wrinkles. So a husband's love, following Christ's example, should sanctify his wife. It should secure her, help her grow into her purest, most complete self, truly becoming one with him.
Cleansing spots and ironing out wrinkles. I like that image. And the last aspect.
The protecting love. Ephesians 5, verse 28 reminds us, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Pastor Travis explains the husband is literally the house band, like a strong unifying force that binds the home together.
The house band, holding it all together.
Exactly. He is responsible to materially, spiritually, emotionally, and physically meet the needs of his wife and children. It's a comprehensive protection and provision.
And sadly, Pastor Travis contrasts this divine blueprint with, well, the modern tendency for men to be what he calls cowards,
right.
Men who abandon their families when things get tough, rather than stepping up as that protective, unifying force they're called to be.
It's a stark contrast to the biblical mandate.
Absolutely. Wow. This deep dive has really laid bare the profound choices we face daily, hasn't it? And it's provided an incredibly clear biblical blueprint for building strong relationships. It seems to all come down to embracing personal responsibility in our walk with God and in cultivating strong, God-honoring homes.
It really does. And maybe a final thought to leave with you listening. Given the clarity of God's instructions, both in Joshua and Ephesians, and seeing the often painful consequences of neglecting them, what immediate choice, however small it might seem, can you make today? Maybe it's to consciously look ahead in your personal walk, or maybe it's to strengthen one of your vital relationships as unto the Lord. Just consider how applying even one nugget from today's deep dive could begin to reset your course towards maybe greater purpose and peace.
That's a great challenge. Remember, you can continue to explore these powerful messages and many others. Sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church are available on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. For more information, just go to faithwayfbc.com. That's faithwayfbc.com. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.